Well, hello, Westover. It's great to see you guys. I pray that you celebrated and worshiped the Lord in song today. Isn't he good? God is so good and faithful. He loves us. As I was preparing for this message, I was reflecting on some of the vacations my family and I, we've had. We've gone different places and we've had fun, but inevitably, something always comes up. Either there's a flight delay, or we get the wrong hotel room and the AC doesn't work, or the kids are fighting about something. And we're just praying that they like each other after the entire vacation. Sometimes, don't you know, you need a vacation after the vacation. But I think all of us, we dream of having the perfect vacation where everything goes great, where the kids get along, where there's no travel delays, where the hotel room is perfect, where the kids actually enjoy the things that you have so hard planned for them. I often think that if we were to have that kind of experience, we'd end by saying, wow, that was amazing. I wish we could have that again. I think many of us, we dream of having vacations like that, but we don't dare dream of having a life like that. All we see is disappointment, frustration, setback. I want to remind you that even in the hard times, God is good. Even in the difficult moments, God is still faithful. He's still on the throne. He's still in charge. And I believe in faith that God, before the beginning of time, wrote out and ordained a great life for you. You see, the enemy has a plan for your life. It's to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, like we just sung just a moment ago, to give us a life and an abundant life. It doesn't mean it's going to be a perfect life, but it's a life where God will show up in every moment, on the mountaintop moments and even in the valleys, because God is the God of the hills and the valleys. And he's here for us today. And today I want to challenge us to believe for more. I want to challenge you to believe for more. Believe that God can give you the immeasurably more. God has more in store for your life, for your family, and for your future. And today I want to share on this topic that you and I, we were made for more impact. Made for more impact. You were designed by your Creator, Jesus Christ, to have a life of impact. It's not just about success and financial wealth, but a life where you look back and you see how good and faithful God was. I want to encourage you to live a life of impact and significance from the King's perspective. Why? Because the life we live is the legacy we leave for the next generation. Your kids, your young adults, your students are watching you. And I'm praying that you will leave a faith legacy for the next generation. That they'll someday say, my mom or my dad, they weren't perfect, but I knew that they followed Jesus. I knew they spent time with Jesus. I knew that they listened to Jesus. I knew that when they made a mistake that they would ask for forgiveness and change. You and I, we were created for more impact. I wish you could eavesdrop and hear the conversation in heaven about the life that God has planned for you. If you could only see what God has planned for you, you'd want it every time. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to hear the words of Jesus to his disciples. After he died and rose again, but before he ascended into heaven, he takes a moment and he encourages his disciples, because in that moment they were a little discouraged. They had a little bit of doubt. And so I want to invite you to join me in Matthew chapter 28. It's the last chapter of the book of Matthew. If you find the book of Mark, just go back one page and you'll find it. We're going to look at verses 16 and following. And I want you to hear the words of Jesus to his disciples. Let's start with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. I'm going to pause here. Wherever Jesus tells you to go, be willing to go. Whatever he tells you to do, be willing to do. Whatever he tells you to say, be willing to say. Whatever he tells you to give, be willing to give. Because if you follow him, you'll discover the life you've always dreamed about. Goes on in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and he said some words. Before we jump into that, I want to share with you that Jesus wants to step into your life. He wants to be there with you. He knows that sometimes we have doubts in our life. Jesus, I'm going to share with you in just a moment what he does to address the doubts of his disciples. Why? Because doubt is a form of belief. Doubt is believing the lies of the enemy. Doubt has been the device of the enemy from the very beginning. Remember in the garden when the serpent said to Adam and Eve, did God really say? That was doubt. When Satan tempts Jesus, he says, if you are the Son of God, that was doubt. Here's what I've discovered about doubt. Doubt will always tell you to stay. Doubt will always tell you to stay. To stay comfortable, stay silent, stay in the shadows, and stay still. And if doubt can get you to stay, doubt will get you to settle. If doubt can get you to stay right where you're at, doubt can get you to settle. Settle for safe, settle for the status quo, settle for the bare minimum, settle for less than God's best. I'm here to tell someone, don't stay safe, don't settle for safe, believe for more, believe for more, believe for more. God has more in store for you, more impact he wants to create in your life. And look at what he says to his disciples in verse 18 and following. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, say authority. Authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Say, make disciples. Make disciples. Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. Say, obey everything. Obey everything. I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always. He's saying to them then, I'm with you always. Even to the end of the age, he's actually speaking to us. Remember that verse that says he'll never leave you or forsake you? God will be with you every moment of your life if you're willing to invite him in. He's walking right beside you, hoping that you'll call on his name. He'll be with you to your very last breath. He's there available to help you live the life he has planned for you. He's with us even to the end of the age. This passage is called the Great Commission. And if you're in the military, you understand what a commission is. It's an assignment from your commander in chief. This divine commission from God comes with authority and ability. God will give you the authority and the ability to fulfill the divine assignment he's put before you. I know you may feel like making disciples is too big of a thing, but I'm here to tell you that if you allow the living, risen Savior to flow out of you, you can help people become disciples of Jesus too. Because that's what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who finds and follows Jesus and helps other people do the same. And so today I want to share with you two ways to have a life of impact. The first one is this, and it's our mission here at Westover. Follow Jesus, love people. In fact, I want you to say it from your heart as a declaration that you want to do this. Say it with me. Follow Jesus, love people. God's calling us to follow Jesus and love people. It's not intended just to be a slogan on the wall, but for it to be etched in our heart, that this would be our ultimate desire. That we would say, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. Because anywhere he is, that's the best place to be. Anywhere Jesus is the best place to be. I'd rather be in a boat that Jesus is in the middle of a storm, than standing at the shore realizing I missed him. God is calling us to follow Jesus and love people. He's calling us to be disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple back then was someone who followed a religious leader like a rabbi. Jesus was a rabbi. That was great teacher, great religious teacher. And these disciples, they would not just go sit in a classroom. They would do life with the rabbi. And they would learn from the rabbi. They would learn his words and his ways. And after a while, the way of the rabbi would rub off on the disciples. In fact, they began to imitate the master. I'm reminded of a story in the book of Acts Peter and John, they heal under the power of the name of Jesus, a man that's sitting at the gate called Beautiful. And then they get called in by the religious leaders, the Pharisees. That was the name of the religious leaders back then. And they said, why did you do this miracle? And they said, because Jesus rose from the dead and he gave us the power to do so. And the people, the religious leaders, they looked at them, they said, these are unlearned men, but they knew that they had been with Jesus. I pray that that would be the thing that people would say about the people that attend Westover, that they would know that we had been with Jesus. That they knew that because we had such a close relationship, we sounded, we acted, and we imitated him. It's a privilege to be your pastor, but my job is not for you to act like me, but for all of us to act like Jesus. I'm just here, the messenger. Jesus is the good news. I'm the one that's saying, make way, for the king is coming. God's inviting us to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And that's what disciples do. They follow Jesus and they love people. And then disciples, they help other people follow Jesus and love people. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, go and make disciples in the authority that I've given you. And then teach them everything that I've commanded you. Even the easy things to follow and the hard things to follow, both. You see, disciples are disciple makers. So how do we follow Jesus? How can we live that out practically? First and foremost, it's deciding that Jesus is the best way to live and the only way to die. It's by putting him center in every conversation and every decision. That before you take a step forward, you say, Jesus, what would you like for me to do with this moment? You see, this isn't how it works, where you take a step and then we say, God bless where I'm standing. No, we stand here and we wait. Be still and know that he is God and say, God, where are you headed and can I come? And he'll say, go over here. And then you take a step. And then he'll say, take another step. And then you'll take another step. And then sometimes what he'll do is he'll put you in a moment when there's a detour and you'll feel like you're actually going backwards, but you're actually going forward. He'll say, take another step. And you think you're going backwards, but you're actually, you're stepping into the will of God. Sometimes God has us take a step that seems backward because he's actually trying to teach us how to move forward. And it's because we walk by faith and not by sight. That's what God is inviting us to do. He's inviting us to step in. Parents, be the spiritual leaders of your home. I know it seems daunting, but God has empowered you through his Holy Spirit to be the spiritual leaders of your home. You, all you have to do is ask him and he'll tell you how to lead the children he gave to you. Because we are parents for but a season, but they are his children forever. And that's the hope. As a church, we've designed some next steps to help you follow Jesus. First and foremost, if you just come to faith in Jesus Christ, attend our Follow Jesus class. We want to help you begin your journey with the Lord and step into his purpose. We want you to learn how to discover and hear the voice of God through his word. We want you to know how to pray. We want to teach you how to do that because we want you to have a great relationship with Jesus. We want to encourage you to get water baptized. It's why we have it every month. We're inviting you to attend church regularly. Why? Because there's something about prioritizing time with God. Let this be part of your regular faith rhythm. Church attendance today in the American church is 1.6 times a month. Here's what I'm telling you. We need to make Jesus a priority. I know some of us will never miss a Cowboys game. But Jesus will never fail you. Jesus will always show up for you. Yeah, you guys are picking up what I'm saying. Whenever you show up here, God will give you something for the week that is to come. God will never leave you in a lurch. He wants to meet with you in community so that you can step into the week he's about to give to you or the way life is gonna show up for you. We wanna encourage you to be part of a life group. Why? Because it's in a life group that a church this size becomes a family. Aquí en San Antonio somos familia. We're family. We're family and God's inviting us to be family. Not just say hi and hello to the person that we sit next to, but family. He's inviting us to be faith family, but it doesn't stop there. We need to love people. Jesus died on the cross to express his love to people, and we need to do the same. We need to express God's love to people. You see, we believe here at Westover that saved people serve people. If you believe in Jesus as he's your Lord and Savior, then we should serve his people as well. The last lesson that Jesus taught his disciples before he died, right at the end of the Last Supper, what he does is he washes the disciples' feet and then he says, go and do the same. Jesus washed all the disciples' feet, including Judas's. God's inviting us to serve God by serving people. You see, the church is for us, but it's not about us. It's about God and about what he wants to do. We're intended to be reaching out into the community to tell the good news of Jesus because that's the hope of the world. We need to tell people that Jesus is the hope of the world. You see, here it is. We're not asking you to be a part of what we're doing. I'm inviting all of us to be a part of what God is doing. And today I want to share with you a Kingdom Impact report of what God did through our church last year in 2023. What he did in our community, what he did globally, and what he did spiritually. I want to share with you. We continued in our local community, we continued a community partnership with three schools. We did a variety of things to encourage the staff at these three elementary schools. We also gave them, we gave $350 gift cards. So $50 gift cards to 300 teachers, staff, and administrators. Why? Because we wanted to resource them at the beginning of the year and tell them God loves you. You don't have to reach into your pocket to buy school supplies for your classroom or the things that you need. And then we reached out to our community through our sports ministry, which is one of the largest outreaches that we do. In fact, I want to tell you that 2,670 people participated in sports leagues. 957 were adults, and over 1,700 were kids and students. And I say praise the Lord for that. Why? Because there's kids and students who don't attend this church or don't attend church at all, and they were able to rub shoulders with a coach that loves God and is willing to tell them that God has a purpose for them. And then we reached out to our community through our community outreaches. 3,800 people, nearly 3,900 people attended our Easter egg hunt last year, and we're expecting more people to show up this year. That's why we want you to come to the egg stuffing party. And as you wrap those eggs, I want you to pray that God would reach the heart of a child or a parent. In fact, I'm inviting you to go to our serve page on our Westover page website and go to the serve page and find an opportunity to step in and serve. Serve with us at Easter egg hunt. I also want to share with you that over 25,000 people heard that Jesus is the light of the world through Field of Lights. Thank you for giving up time in the holiday season, which I know is very busy, to go down to that field, to share a smile and a God bless you, because today we're seeing the return of your investment. Our staff has met dozens and dozens and dozens of families since the beginning of the year that have started to come to Westover because of Field of Lights. And I believe that God's going to send more people to us. I also want to share with you what God allowed us to accomplish globally. Because of your faithful generosity, we were able to make an investment in the kingdom of God globally. Together, we raised $46,000. In two areas, disaster relief and women's empowerment. We were able to give disasters in Turkey, in Hawaii, in Ukraine. We were able to empower women in places where they're exploited, like Kenya, El Salvador, and Philippines. Together, we raised over $92,000 to build ministry training centers in Tanzania and Nicaragua. In fact, Pastor Jim just got back last night. He was in Tanzania at a pastor's conference, and he was able to tell the leadership there, I brought a check of $40,000. Remember how just a couple of weeks ago we raised $40,000? He was able to tell them, now you can finish that dorm so pastors can get equipped. I want to say thank you, Westover. Thank you for catching the heart of God. Also, thank you for allowing us to invest into Jim Ryan Ministries, over $42,000, so that he could be invested in the kingdom. Last year, he went to six countries and ministered. He taught 191 students in five Bible schools. He trained over 1,400 pastors in 10 conferences. Thank you. And together we raised the largest one-day to feed the world offering to feed kids in poverty-stricken areas. We raised over $245,000 last year so that we could feed 2,041 children this year, every day. So today there's a child that's eating a meal and they're hearing about a Jesus that loves them. Thank you for having a heart for children who need to hear about Jesus. And I believe God's gonna share with them when they get to heaven, and you're gonna meet the child or the children that you fed because of your faithfulness. Together, our outreach investment and impact in the kingdom of God was $1.1 million. $1.1 million. We were able to invest into the kingdom of God. And here's the best part, I think. When we calculated all the donations and contributions that we received as a church, 11% was sent out of Westover to make kingdom impact. In other words, as a church, we tithe. We tithe as a church. We invite each one of us to tithe to Westover. But I want you to know that we had the great privilege of tithing into the kingdom. Thank you, Westover. Thank you. Thank you for your heart for God. But it gets better. Here's the spiritual impact report. And this is the best number. In 2023, 4,830 people decided to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. 555 of those people declared their faith in Jesus Christ through water baptism. 152 people were filled with the Holy Spirit and given a heaven prayer language. And 110 children were dedicated to God. But it doesn't stop there. Our church has grown and grown and grown. God has been sending people to our church. In fact, our Spanish ministry, we had to move them out of the auditorium that they were in. And now they're in this auditorium on Saturday nights, and they have an average weekend attendance of over 500 people. When you look at the overall growth numbers from the end of 22 to the end of 23, we had a 21% growth in attendance. And our church is listed as one of the top 100 fastest growing churches in America. And I say, to God be the glory. It's not about the awards or accolades. It's that people are getting an opportunity to meet Jesus. In fact, I met a lady recently. She drives Uber and she drops people off at this church. And she told us, Pastor, I'm here. Because the last time I dropped someone off at Westover, I said, the next time I drop someone off at Westover, and she says, I drop off a lot of people at Westover. She said, I'm gonna come to church. And so she walked in, and she came to us after the service, and she said, I didn't know I needed that. God showed up and met with her. And I say, praise the Lord for that, because God is reaching people right where they're at. But God's not done. There's more salvations and more transformation and more restored marriages and more reunified families and more students getting a call into ministry. There's more impact that God wants to do in our life and through us as a church. Because church is not just a place we go to worship. It's a people that we belong to. God's calling us to be the church every day. That's the second way to create a life of impact. Be the church every day. We, the people, the word in Greek is ekklesia, the fellowship of God's people. We are the church. And yes, we're supposed to celebrate as the church in church, but we're supposed to be the church outside the four walls. And God has given us the authority to step in and encourage people. He says, I've given you all authority in the universe. Go and make disciples and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Here's some practical ways to be the church on the weekend. Join a weekend serve team. I know you thought about it. You've been nudged and nudged and nudged. This is your 47th nudge. It's time to do it. Attend our Love People class so we can get you activated. For my introverts, can I just encourage you? You've been sitting next to that person for months and months. It's time to go beyond the head nod and the smile. I know it's hard, but I think you need to engage in a conversation with the persons you sit next to. I also want to invite you to give generously. Jesus tells us, he tells his disciples and us in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Sometimes we block our blessing because we're not generous to the level God tells us to. I want to reassure you, Westover, whatever God tells you to give, He's not gonna put you in a position where you lack. It takes a step of faith. But you've already tried to do life on your own. I think sometimes, just wanna ask, for those of us who tried our life on our own, how's that worked out? It really hasn't. God's inviting us to a new life. Here's some practical ways to be the church every day. After church, parents, ask your kids and students what they learned about God and his purpose for them. Reinforce faith on the drive home. At work on Monday, when other people ask you about what you did this weekend, tell them what you did as a family, but also what God spoke to you at church, what he told you, what he whispered to your heart. Because the thing that he whispered to your heart that doesn't make sense to you may be the word for someone else. Be willing to be a conduit of God's love. On Sunday or Monday evening, as you plan your week, decide ahead of time what you should give at church the following weekend. Paul told the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16, on the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of the money you have earned to give to the work of God. Finally, I invite you to call or text that one person that God's been putting on your mind and in your heart. You don't know what they're facing. If God puts them on your heart, I want to encourage you to reach out. Encourage them. Send a Bible verse. Pray for them. Tell them, hey, what's up? You've been on my mind for days and days and days. I believe as you step in, you can be the hand and heart of God extended to them. Today, as I close, I want to invite you to stand. God's inviting us to follow Jesus and love people and to go from this place and be the church every day. So I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes because I want to pray that God would empower you through his Spirit. God, I pray right now that through your Holy Spirit, you would empower these wonderful people, those who are in the room and those who are part of our online family, that you would give them spiritual courage to go and be the church every single day, that they would express your heart, God, that they would follow your footsteps, Jesus, and that they would express your love to the people who need to hear from you. I pray, Lord, you prompt their hearts. May they have ears to hear and eyes to see and a mind to discern what you're speaking to them to bless the people in their life. I pray, Lord, right now that you would just hover over your people, encourage them. Let them know that they can step in boldly because you've given them the authority and the ability to fulfill the assignment you put before them. We say all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. It's been a delight to have you here this weekend at Westover. God bless you and go make an impact.